Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are happy to be here with you today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We are Heralds of Hope, and our goal is to use media like radio, internet, and books to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. Think about that. Do you think it is possible to accomplish the Great Commission? Can we go everywhere and teach all nations? Do you think we have the resources necessary to accomplish this? I would say yes, absolutely. Planes make it possible to travel anywhere in one day. Our communication is instant, and it's possible to have a conversation with anyone in the world, no matter where they are. Do we have the funds to accomplish this? If God's people will align our hearts with His, funding will not be a problem. The hard part is keeping our hearts in line with His. As followers of Jesus, we must focus on going and teaching. Here at Heralds of Hope, we believe it is possible, and we plan to do our part as God leads us. This belief leads us to teach the Bible via radio, like this. So, if you can, turn with us now to Exodus. We will continue our journey through this Old Testament book with our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst. And here he is to teach us today's lesson.
Hope is a very important part of our lives. Hope doesn't mean we ignore the conditions around us, but it does mean that we rise above them. It means to trust in the one who controls all the conditions. King David once said, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee." That's why I often say there is no true hope except in God's word and through faith in God. In our study today, Moses is preparing to go before Pharaoh, and he received his final instructions from the Lord in this way: "Do what I tell you." Recall with me that the Lord had spoken to Moses several times and said to him, "I am the Lord. Speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all that I say unto you." The final instructions for Moses were to do what God told him to do. Let me draw some lessons from that for you. When God has spoken, we really have no other choice than to do what He said, especially if we want the blessing of the Lord. It seems to me that Moses needed to learn this lesson over and over again. In my mind, he was not only slow of speech and slow of tongue, but he was slow to learn. But let's not be too hard on him, because we find ourselves often to be the same. It seems like we are so slow in learning the great biblical truths. I'm so glad God is patient. He keeps working with you and me, just like He did with Moses. Now, Exodus chapter 7 and verses 1 to 13 is a very interesting scripture. It demonstrates to us that you can't stop God. That's the title of this meditation. You can't stop God. If you have your Bible and can open it, the scripture reading is Exodus chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. And here is the word of God. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not listen to you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them.' And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83, when they spoke unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, 'When Pharaoh shall speak to you, show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent.' And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up theirs. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. In this text, we find several different viewpoints which must bring us to the absolute conclusion that you can't stop God. The first viewpoint we have is the promise. Observe with me how carefully God arranged everything. I'm impressed. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He knew exactly how he was going to work this out, and he laid out the arrangement for Moses and Aaron. He said, "I have made you a god, and Aaron your brother is your prophet." And so this is the way it's going to work. I will speak to you, you will speak to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to Pharaoh. Do you get the point? Very clearly and very carefully, the Lord has set up what we call the chain of command. And there could be no variation from this. It was God Almighty, Moses, Aaron, and then Pharaoh. Notice in verse 2 that God said, "You will speak all that I command you." In other words, you'll say everything I tell you to say. That's so important. Many people today take exception to some of the things the Lord has said, and they try to use human reasoning to get around them. But Moses was instructed by the Lord that there was no way that he could leave anything out. "You shall speak all that I have spoken to you." Notice with me also that the Lord promised he would harden Pharaoh's heart so that he would be able to multiply his signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. We'll see in a few moments why God did that. But there is a promise. God had it all arranged for them so that there would be complete assurance that it would work. You can't stop God. When he steps out to do something, he will do what he has promised. As we look further, we see the plan. So first of all, he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he would not listen. And then he said he was going to do that so that he could lay his hand upon Egypt and bring forth his people. God outlined this very carefully so there could be no question about what the purpose was. We must remember that God didn't violate Pharaoh's choices. God only hardened Pharaoh's heart after Pharaoh had already done that by his own will. And God didn't harden Pharaoh just for the sake of hardening his heart, but he hardened him according to what God said so he could judge him, and finally all of the Egyptians would know who God is. Look at the first phrase in verse 5, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." The actions of God always have divine purpose behind them. God's purpose is to honor his name and to display his glory so there can be no question about who he is and the extent of his power. So he said, "They are going to know when I have stretched forth my hand and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. There will no longer be any question among them as to who God is." My friend, you can't stop God when his promise is so clearly set forth and when his plan is so carefully laid out. And yet, sadly, today, too many people have not learned this lesson. They think they can be successful in frustrating or in defeating God's plans, but they will find out to their own hurt, just like Pharaoh did, that they really are powerless before Almighty God. And that leads us to the third viewpoint. It's called the promotion. How was God going to carry out his purpose? He made the promise, and he laid out the plan. Now, how is he going to promote this? So God said to Moses and Aaron, "When you go to speak to Pharaoh, and he asks you to show a miracle, then you will take the rod and cast it down before him." Moses would use the rod of God as a tool in God's promotion of the power. Earlier in the book of Exodus, when God first came to Moses there in the desert of Mount Sinai, he asked him, maybe you remember this, "What's in your hand?" And it was a rod. The Lord said, "You're going to do great and marvelous and wonderful things with this rod." And then he was to say to Aaron, take this rod and cast it down before Pharaoh, and it shall become a snake. He did what God said, and immediately it became a snake. So Pharaoh called in all his magicians, and they duplicated the miracle. They threw their rods on the ground, and their rods became snakes too. Now I'm not sure how helpful that was, but keep in mind that the Lord was hardening Pharaoh's heart. In this way, God could stretch out his hand with many signs and wonders. Magicians most likely didn't have this power in themselves, but God, in keeping with his plan and his purpose and his promotion, permitted their rods to become snakes. But what happened? Aaron's snake swallowed up all the other snakes. That implies to me that there's a greater power at work in this unusual miracle. Now you would think, in that situation, that Pharaoh should have believed in the power of God. But he didn't. He refused. And you know, there are similar evidences all about us today. We can see the hand of God in history. Many men have tried to stop God, but it has come to nothing. We also see the hand of God in the present. Just like he did with Pharaoh, he sometimes uses the vilest of leaders to accomplish his purposes, and they are not aware of what's happening. We sometimes ask ourselves how much more proof God would have to bring in order for everyone everywhere to accept him as Lord. God said, "They shall know that I am the Lord." Do you know him? I know it's easy to think about your neighbor or some other person, but the question comes to you and me. Do you and I know the Lord? If you don't know the Lord, reach out to him today because he wants you to know him.
Thanks, J. Mark, for teaching us more from Exodus. And thank you for being there. If you would like this teaching, or if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you our information shortly. I love how Exodus teaches us that God is in control and he is at work. He always has been, and he always will be. We can trust him right now, no matter what we are experiencing. We won't always understand him, but we can trust him. His timing might be different than ours. Think about Moses. And he might not do what we think he should be doing. Remember what happened to Joseph? However, we have the benefit of looking back at many years of history. And we see God is sovereign. His purposes will be accomplished. This is his story, and he is the author. If you are interested, we have a study guide for Exodus available. It is a small booklet designed to help you learn more from each of these lessons. We call it the Hope Herald, and if you would like one, all you have to do is ask. Here is how you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please look around for more teaching like this. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study in Exodus. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Blessings to you as you glorify him.